Good morning, Sergeant Fifield.
Good morning, sir.
I see the state police have announced a new program for those seeking a career in forensic services.
Our laboratory division has a lot of openings here lately, and we've started an internship program for our CSIs, which is our crime scene investigators, finished taking applications for those internships, and we had an unbelievable amount of applicants. We actually had to turn applicants away. We had so many applicants that are trying to get into the CSI field, and the reason being is it used to be that was a sworn position. So we have troopers who are still doing it, doing the CSI position. Well, we're converting over and making that a civilian job or professional staff where you don't have to be a law enforcement officer to be a CSI. So that's opened up a lot of opportunities for folks. So we have this internship program we just took applications for, and we've got everyone from bachelor degrees. We've got a couple of doctorate degrees of individuals that have applied for this internship because they want to get their foot in the door into becoming CSIs or crime scene investigators for us. So it's a really huge opportunity. It's something that you're going to see a lot more of going forward. That opportunity, as well as other opportunities within our lab, as we convert from some of these positions that we had troopers doing those jobs, are now going to be professional staff, or in other words, non-troopers, but they'll be non-sworn civilian positions that we're going to be filling. Right now, we've got a few civilian positions we're taking applications for. So all those jobs, professional staff jobs, are found on indianatrooper.com. You can go there and search all the open positions. We just finished accepting applications for the next traditional academy that we're going to be having. We're going to be having a lateral academy later this year, and we'll be taking applications for that probably later this month or in April. I forgot we're in February already.
I read an article about the summer camps. What does that entail, and how can potential attendees find out more about this?
Our summer camp program is for kids of all ages. We've got it from elementary students all the way up to high school seniors, and it's a really good opportunity for our youth to learn about what troopers do, from everything from SWAT demonstrations to canine demonstrations to physical fitness. We'll actually do workouts with the kids, show them what it takes to become a trooper. Aviation will bring our helicopter in, our dive team will do things. It's a really good experience. Actually, I have several of our troopers that attended that as kids and went on to become troopers. But for more information on our camps, you can go to trooper.org. It's got all the information to our camps. And you can also contact me at the State Police Post and give you information as well, help you out. We do have a couple scholarships available for those that may be in need, because we definitely want to get as many folks there to these camps as we can. And if you are considering it, I know it's only early March, but summer will be here before we know it. And these camps do fill up relatively quickly. I know we don't have any here in Northwest Indiana. I know the Porter County Sheriff's Department has got a really good camp. If you want to keep your kids local, give them a free plug there on their camp. But it's really good. And we have been known to go in there and help them out with their camp as well. But our camps are, I think the closest one is over in Fort Wayne. There is one in Anderson, I believe, but they're south. So if you need assistance with getting your kids to camp, that's something that we can help out with as well.
I see the state police have something called the State Police Protect Hoosier Kids from Online Predators. Do you have any stats on that particular program?
I do. There's a lot of stats that we have of what we've done with the child predators. Last year, there were just under 30,000 complaints of, whether it be, we call it CSAM, so child pornography, things of that nature, in 2025. So that was almost a 38% increase of what we saw in 2024. The state police, they initiated over 3,000 investigations. Last year, there were 499 arrests, so call it 500 arrests. Our ICAC, which is the Indiana Crimes Against Children Task Force, was very busy. We've had several arrests here in Northwest Indiana. There's no area of the state that has not been touched by this crime. There was some legislation that just passed. I'm not sure the details of it. It'll be coming out here shortly, but there was some legislation passed that increased the penalties for this stuff, which we feel is a needed thing and a very, very positive thing to help put these predators behind bars.
Well, one of your many duties, of course, is to put out press releases to the radio station and other media, certainly, in the area. You did a press release recently about a serious crash that took place on an interstate, I don't know if it's 65 or 80, 94, that happened on the shoulder. Someone that was traveling down to the shoulder, apparently in a backup traffic situation, trying to get to their destination quicker. In addition to being illegal, give us some reasons why this is just a bad idea.
Well, it can cost your life, and it cost that young man his life. Driving down the shoulder is extremely dangerous. It happens, that crash happened on I-94 right there near Burr Street. Get a lot of complaints about, but we can't be everywhere at the same time. It just takes some common sense, and you're putting yourself at unneeded risk. You're putting other drivers at risk. It's just unnecessary. People need to use more patience and good judgment when driving. This crash was a perfect example of the negative consequences to a dumb decision, driving down the shoulder, you know, being in a hurry, driving with complete lack of regard for the laws of the roadway and common sense. And it cost that young man his life, unfortunately. But the decisions that we make often have consequences, and unfortunately that was the consequence for that act.
We're speaking with Sergeant Glenn Fifield, who is the public information officer at the Lowell Post for the Indiana State Police. And speaking of crashes, in February, there was a crash with a retired school bus converted into a personal RV. Mm-hmm. If a person has a vehicle like this, do they have to install seat belts throughout the vehicle, and what other upgrades do they need to add before they can take it back out on the roadway?
There is not any additional seat belts or anything like that that are required. It'd be no different than you see the large bus RVs going down the road. The only requirement for those are that obviously the driver has to be seat belted in. If there is a front seat compartment area of an RV, obviously it's going to have a seat belt as well. But other than that, there isn't a restriction on that. That's just one of those things with RVs that they have that exemption for. This bus that was converted into an RV, it was a full RV. It had kitchen, they converted a bathroom area, a bed, everything. And you see these quite often, people will take a school bus and turn it into that. And that's what happened. That's what these folks had done, and unfortunately, there was a crash involving two other vehicles, that bus/RV, concrete bridge wall, and the driver passed away there at the scene. But yeah, there's no extra additional requirements when converting one over. It's just a matter of getting it plated as an RV.
I read a story recently that talked about criminal indicators, quote unquote. What does that term mean?
You often hear people talking about criminal indicators on a traffic stop. So a driver's behavior sometimes will indicate that they're up to no good, whether it be refusal to cooperate, not being able to answer simple questions like, where are you going? Where are you coming from? Things in the car, if someone's driving from Florida to Canada, and you look in the car and there's no luggage, there's no anything, or they're on a family trip and yeah, there's kids in the car, and this is something we come across with human trafficking. There's no baby blankets, there's no kids items and stuff like that in the vehicle for them. So there's certain indications that we're trained to look for that will lead us to further an investigation into a traffic stop. From just a minor traffic violation can expand into a criminal intervention.
Recently, the state police had an event that took place about stopping commercial truckers for overloading possibilities. What did you find on this most recent inspection?
Our commercial motor vehicle division, we call it CIVA, they did a kind of like a blitz first month and a half of this year, and they really had a successful blitz, which I guess you can take that one of two ways. It was good or it was bad. However you want to determine successful based upon the number of violations they found. It'd be really good if these were not successful, right? Because that would mean that trucks are complying with the laws and we're not able to find violations. But to that end, we stopped 6,400 trucks. 653 of them had drivers that were placed out of service. That means they could no longer travel down the road. They had to park their truck for an extended amount of time. Of those 6,500, 752 had vehicle issues. So there was either a problem with a truck or trailer where the truck or trailer was put out of service, so the truck couldn't move. 49 oversized violations. There was 278 overweight violations. So that's a really significant number of violations that were found. And that affects not only the safety of the truck, but these overweights, you know, people wonder all the time why the roads are in such poor condition. And it's really important that these trucks stay within weight range in spring. As you might have already seen, you know, we're going to get rain and these roads are going to start falling apart. These overweight trucks don't help that situation. It just destroys the roads. People complain about the construction and resurfacing and here we go again. And part of the problem is the overweight of the trucks.
Well, before we let you go, I'm sure you'd never want to do a story about yourself when it involves news.
Yeah.
But that did happen, and we reported on that recently about you could have been injured or worse. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what took place.
2 weeks ago, I was out working some overtime on Sunday night. I stopped a vehicle for a traffic violation, and when I got out of my car, I walked to the rear of my car, and I looked up, and I saw a car traveling on the shoulder, as we discussed earlier, coming right at me. And I'm 56 years old. I had to think about that. Quickly, to me, is very slow for some of our younger youth. As quick as I could, jumped over the wall at the same time as the car rear-ended my police car. I got very lucky. If I'd have walked around the front of my car, I probably would have sustained serious injuries because my car was pushed into the vehicle that I'd stopped. I probably would have been pinned in between the two vehicles had I not seen the car coming, if I would have walked to the front, but I got lucky. This is actually the second time this has happened on I-94 with me. Last time was in 2022, I think it was. Same exact situation, traffic stop, and somebody was impaired and struck my car, and I saw that one coming and jumped over the wall as well. So I guess I'm a cat with nine lives, and I've used up two of them. I've gotten very lucky, very fortunate. If there's something that folks can take away, if you see emergency lights on the side of the road, we preach it constantly to slow down or move over. And it really hits home when, you know, you talk about it all the time and then it happens to you, like it happened to me. It really hits home the importance of slowing down and merging when you see emergency lights on the shoulder.
So when people say stay safe, you really understand what they're talking about.
Yeah, it hits home, especially when something like that happens. You know, we've had troopers seriously injured because of that. We've had troopers killed while on the side of the road assisting vehicles. It's not that it cannot happen. It's a very dangerous thing, stopping a car, getting out of the car on the side of the road. And unfortunately, that's one of the risks we take. But we can minimize that risk when folks slow down, merge over when they see the lights.
Sergeant Glenn Fifield, Public Information Officer with the State Police at the Lowell Post. And Sergeant Fifield, as always, we thank you for coming down and stay safe.
Thank you. And I guess this will be going out right before St. Patrick's Day. So everyone have a happy St. Patrick's Day. And if you do go out and celebrate, please drive sober. And if you happen to partake in alcoholic beverages, arrange a ride. Don't drive after consuming alcohol. Please don't get a DUI.